Blog Talk Radio.
Where your money's at, your money's right here. Mr. Lee and Mr. Randall make it so clear. So get ready for the money pal. Wow, right here on Money Matters Now. Where your money's at, your money's right here. Mr. Lee and Mr. Randall make it so clear. So get ready for the money pal. Wow, right here on Money Matters Now. Get money. Get money, 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 yeah.
Good evening and welcome to Money Matters Now. I'm your host, Benny Randall Jr. with Mr. Lee. We're having some technical difficulties, but we're going to get them in momentarily. We appreciate your patience in this matter, but it's out of our control. But we do have a powerful show for you as soon as we can get them in here. But you know how it always is. Ain't no one monkey can stop the show. So we're going to make it happen. We got Mr. Lee on the line in the studio, but we having a technical difficulty connecting him in, and so is our guest. But we're going to get it popping here in just a moment. And while we're waiting on that, we'll just go to this short break, and hopefully when we get back, we will be right in here for Money Matters Now. I'm Benny Randall Jr., a.k.a. The Motivator. Remember, we got a powerful show for you, so don't go nowhere, all right? We'll be right back after this short break.
Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up, ladies? Oh, my bad. I thought y'all was hooking.
It's not like if we were, you could afford us anyway.
If we were, you couldn't afford us.
Miss Jackson wants to see you in her office right now.
If I get one call about you, you are fired.
You are firing me? Mom!
Don't mommy me.
How many hands do you think I'm touching these boxes for we get
life than that?
This is an American to steal something.
How you gonna get fired, man?
I wish they would. I'd be on Lion King crying. It's terrible discrimination.
I'm gonna need you to sign.
You get anything today?
Nope.
You sure?
Yep. What is this?
Apartment 303.
What's across the hall?
I know this ain't what I think it is.
It is, yeah! Am I dreaming?
I know who we can sell it to.
Bingo.
Boom.
Now I put 150 grand in your pocket today.
I'm a man.
I need to count that money.
It's crazy.
Hello? You got it, right?
What? It ain't come here. The delivery dude, he stole it.
We're gonna need more of these.
Oh, that's not gonna work.
Yeah. Ivy on meal.
Right there. Turn around.
All the way.
I don't even think that's him.
It's not me.
Turn around.
Oh, you said all the way.
Can I say one thing?
What?
I like your outfit. You look very nice.
10 people.
My bad. Get thanks.
24 hours.
Get money. Get money.
That's what I'm saying.
Only one way to survive.
Ah! School's up. Recess is over.
Think inside the box.
Yo, what's up?
I dropped a box off here. It's the wrong address. So do you have it?
Well, we did have it. Let's go! You want one? Damn!
Next Day Air.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Benny Randall Jr., a.k.a. The Motivator, and this is Money Matters Now. Mr. Lee, you on the line, sir?
I'm here.
I apologize. And our guest is on the line?
Yes, I am. How you doing, gentlemen?
Hey, Mr. Todd. How you doing, sir?
Okay.
Good, good.
They're trying to keep us down. That's what they're trying to do. I mean, hey, come on now.
They can't stop the progress. I apologize, ladies. It's just that now that we are coming through our own network and everything, it's real intense. So now, you know, but we're here. We're not going to worry about what just happened. We're here. Everything is powerful. Want to thank all the new listeners we had last week. Numbers was excellent. Just loving every bit of that. And it's real ugly right now. So Mr. Lee going to top it off because I know he got some big, powerful things for y'all. I'm going to sit in the background and work on some of this other stuff going on. Go, Mr. Lee.
You got it. Well, everybody, welcome to Money Matters Now on the WBCN radio TV. You know, it seems like that when you actually start doing your own thing and you start doing real good, that's when they start, like, throwing you curveballs. But enough of that. Our guest today is Mr. Todd McKnight. How are you doing, sir?
Doing great. Trying to make a little money here, baby.
Good. Well, hey, aren't we all? And speaking of money, you know, this is Money Matters Now. So, with further ado, Todd, you and I were talking earlier this week about basically the reason why gold is doing so well is that, and I had noticed this before, I think during the Clinton administration, that when the U.S. decided to help Mexico, I think when Mexico was going broke and the U.S. had started to started making currency for Mexico, gold prices went up. And I noticed that trend now that the dollar is starting to go down, gold has risen. Your thoughts on that, just so the listeners can understand on why is that such a trend?
Well, there's a lot of reasons, Chris, and I'm glad you brought it up because there's been a lot of surges in the metal sector, in oil and gas, back from the bottom, of course. I mean, it's still down from the highs of last year, but significant move up since March, for sure, when the markets were starting to bottom out. And especially a nice move up since we started speaking about investing in metals back in last November, I believe it was.
Yes.
So, you know, we were up, we were down around 9 and change on silver. We're up over 16 now. And I think we were in the high 8s on gold. It's up, you know, over 10% from there. So, you know, you're seeing across the board, I think, a lot of factors that would indicate inflation is going to be an issue going forward, especially you know, with what you call the failout, the bailout of all the banks, and the money's not just in the United States but across the world. In many currencies, there have been programs by the governments of many of the European Union, the London, the British pound. They're all trying to support and alleviate the liquidity crisis that occurred in the last 12 months. Excuse me. So doing that has put some pressure on some of these currencies and made maybe gold and silver and oil and gas, some of these more tangible assets that have historically maintained value even through difficult economic times, a good haven. And certainly you've seen the stock market appreciating significantly recently as well, and this very well may be as a result of inflationary pressures.
Now, I know the U.S., and I do believe that the euro is not under the gold standard. And, well, for people who don't know, that means that our currency is not backed by gold. Even though gold is seen as a currency, but our U.S. dollars is, and I do believe the euro, is not backed by any gold. I do remember having a $100 gold certificate a number of years ago. And I do remember having one to where if you went to the U.S. government, they would give you $100 worth of gold. If our currency fails, then it's not like we can back it up with gold. I mean, I'm saying as far as literally you can't, but I do believe that technically you can. I mean, anybody will give you money for gold. Anybody. And I do know. Go ahead, Tom.
So the issue with, you know, going back to the gold standard is just the volume of U.S. dollars that are out there in the world today has increased tremendously versus back in the 70s. I think it was about 1974.
I think it was Nixon who severed our currency permanently from the gold standard.
I believe you're right. I think it was 74.
Yeah.
But I, you know, don't quote me on that. I was still a thought of a thought at that point.
Yeah, I was young too. I was real young too.
Gentlemen, if I may, Mr. Lee, if I may interject here, not by that, because that's before my time. But I just want to let everybody know we can't have the somebody tweeted me while the chat room is open. We're having some technical difficulties, that's why we can't have the chat room open right now. But hopefully before the show is over, it's cool. And too, I want to give a shout out to all the new UK listeners we have from last weekend. We are on iTunes, ladies and gentlemen. You can download these shows directly from iTunes. Simply go to iTunes.com, put in the podcast, and put in WBCN-TV, and you can get it. So we want to welcome all our UK listeners, and we hope you get some over here just in case you plan on moving to America. All right, go, Mr. Lee.
Okay. And you were saying, Mr. McKnight?
Yeah, there's just the sheer volume. After, I mean, basically, that's why they decided to go off the gold standard. It basically was going to restrict the United States from growing at the time. Our reserves in Fort Knox and the various banks, you know, in New York, this big gold stash as well, as you saw from Bruce Willis's one of his good movies, I think, you know, where they tried to take the U.S. down again, you know. Anyway, they basically just didn't have enough gold to support the amount of currency needs out there, especially the high demand coming from the emerging economies of the world, like China and Russia. After they, you know, those two countries own a lot of our currency, basically to support their own, because they've been through some real volatile times in those periods where their currencies, even in recent years, you know, when their governments had changed and their attitudes had changed towards doing business with the West, there were more needs for interaction and currency exchange and more trade agreements going on there. So they have a tremendous reserves in the dollar, and it really didn't make sense to limit ourselves to just the amount of dollars that gold can back up, unless
is China's currency under the gold standard?
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, they're if you know they're highly backed up really by our currency. That's
so basically
our
debt.
They have our government bonds, which is our debt, like you said. You know, they've invested heavily in that, believing that it's a safer place to be than other investments out there to support their currency. And I imagine right now, and I know you can see the Chinese companies and even the because there's a combination and partnership with most of the Chinese companies and the government to the tune of about 50%. You've got a tremendous amount of aggressive buying of resources like steel, coal, oil resources, and I'm sure gold and platinum and nuclear.
Oh yeah, they are buying.
I will
say China is actively still buying. I think when they started to open up their borders, they pretty much opened up a can of worms on the world, especially America. And it seems like that the American economy wasn't ready for what China has to offer. I mean, they do have 1 billion people, and 1 billion people got to eat. And that's not including the people that have already migrated from China to other countries. China still has a billion people in their country. So that's a lot of resources that these people need.
Hey, Todd, I got a question from Twitter. Tara says, I'm not sure, Mr. Todd, how gold would make me money if I had. I'm not sure how gold would make me money if I had $50,000 to buy gold. Would I just put a whole lot of gold in my house and wait till the price goes up if I'm buying the physical gold, or am I being illiteral here? I guess it depends.
There are a lot of ways to invest in gold, and actually, and yes, owning the physical bullion, the physical pure gold metal, is a way to invest. And we mentioned that back in November when we first started touching upon alternative investments for people that were scared of how to do it. If you're going to work on a big level like that and you want to have, you know, $50,000 in bullion in the house, I'd recommend having a pretty good alarm system. But you can do it. I mean, I definitely.
I guess you're trying to say, is that practical? I guess that's a question. The way I read the question, I guess she's trying to say, is that practical? Is that how it does? Or like, you know, what, like, how does gold make money versus, you know, do you buy the stocks in gold, or
you
do
can,
you buy the
you can buy
gold?
It in exchange. You can buy it on the exchange traded funds that trade out there. You know, it's for example, the GLD is a way to play it. It's called the Spider Gold Trust, and it basically trades with the price of gold. And you know, that's one way to go to track it and trade it, which is a little bit safer in the sense that you don't have to worry about security purposes. But there's also a certain amount of security, in my opinion, to owning some of the physical metal. So I don't discourage it at all. I prefer silver because I think the upside is a little bit higher, you know, as far as percentages go. I think we got a good shot for, you know, $30 silver maybe here in the next 5 years, and that would be a double from here. To see $2,000 gold, a lot of people believe we'll see it, but I'm not too sure, to be honest. I am a buyer.
What is her? Go ahead, Mr. Lee.
I would basically say right now, if you really go into investing gold, to me, it's a great way to put your currency and to keep your currency safe. Because no matter where you go, I mean, if the dollar fails, then you just have a piece of paper. If you use that piece of paper before it failed to buy gold, then you actually have something even if the dollar fails. And that's usually why the price of gold goes up, is because people do not have that much faith in the dollar. The dollar is losing value. People put their money in a secure investment with gold, and that's why the gold prices have gone up.
Okay.
Our friend of the show.
And also, if she wants to buy bullion, just tell her, go to your bank, get a safety deposit bank, and put it there. Don't put it in your house.
Tara, if that answers your question, Twitter me back. If not, you can email him at moneymattersnow@ymail.com and yell at him. But you can Twitter me back if you're still listening to your answer. So if they didn't answer your question, then Twitter me back. And of course, Mr. Lee and Todd cannot see the Twitter, so I'm controlling that. So push it back to me, and I'll get the question back to them. Go ahead, gentlemen.
Yeah, thanks for the question, Tara. Also, just to interrupt quickly, there are other ways to invest. There are brokerage houses that deal strictly with the commodities metals, and you know, they can do it in the physical sense and hold it for you there, and they'll charge a commission, buy it, sell it in and out. There's also the futures commodities contracts that you can play as well, which is a little more risky and not really what Chris and I are talking about, because it really, that's a more about market timing. And it's not a very simple thing to do. Although, you know, there's certainly a place for that in everyone's, in many people's extra little, you know, portfolio. If you have the right expertise and you're dealing with, you know, the right advisors that can guide you, and or you have a personal knowledge of the sector. So.
Well, just to add to that, because last week we actually did a show dedicated to the commodity market. We had Mr. Tarif Ghazi on, and if anybody who didn't hear that show, you know, just please go to our archives, and you'll actually be able to hear exactly what we spoke about in the futures market.
Or go to iTunes and download it.
Okay. So.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
But Todd, let me. I got a question. Let me ask you, you or Mr. Lee. I read that they recently, Todd, they they did pass that legislation. I don't know how that works, that flash trading was no longer going to be allowed. Is that a good thing now? Does that level out the playing field?
What was that again?
They my understanding from reading in the Financial Times that they passed a thing about not being able to flash trade no more.
Okay.
You
yeah.
Know, where,
no, I,
get, where you get to see a second.
I think that's great. Yeah, I think that's great. It's you don't you
want
to level.
Wait, isn't that what put Lehman Brothers in the grave?
No, that's what.
No, not really.
That's what the calling is doing right now. Was doing recently when the guy stole the software. Who stole the what's the company name? Todd.
I'm not too sure, and I don't want to get say the wrong thing when it comes to that. But what I will say is we had a quick discussion on this a couple of weeks back where, you know, funds and different entities were able to see large orders coming in.
A second before, yes.
Based on that, they were able to react and do some things on their own. Or, you know, that's basically information out there that's sensitive. And
right.
it can put some of the, you know, the average traders out there, the average people that don't have access to that, at a disadvantage. And to be able to see order flows is very let's say it's a privilege that needs to be handled very lightly. And you know, in certain markets like the American Stock Exchange, they still use specialists and stuff like that to, you know, have a conduct orderly market flow, which they did on the New York Stock Exchange for years. And they get to see the same types of order flows. But using that information to make money for yourself really needs to be regulated, as you mentioned. So it sounds like they're cracking down on that.
Okay, no problem. Well, I'm going to say the name because I ain't in the financial industry, so it's my opinion, and it's what I read in Financial News. It was Goldman Sachs and that proprietary software that allows you to see it 1 second advance. I'm actually reading it from Financial Times right now. That allows you to see it 1 second before other people do, so you can make your bid and then withdraw it before it even hits the other market. So that's what I read in Financial, according to Financial News. Thank you very much. Go ahead. I ain't never see it.
Good stuff, man.
Okay.
He's on top of this, you know.
Hey. Well, he read it straight from the article, so he's okay.
He's okay.
Yeah, all right. So, interesting conversation. very interesting. You know, I kind of wish I'd seen that.
You know,
I wish I'd seen that software back in a few years ago. You know, maybe we could have seen a financial crash before it happened. You know, at least one second. That's all right.
A second before it happened.
I'd sell everything. but you know, hey, these things happen.
I said a second seems pretty. You got to be pretty quick to deal with a second. These guys, that I guess, you know, if your hands are fast enough.
I think the way they're saying it is probably more than that, but the way they're saying it is a second before. In other words, they can actually bid.
In other words, they got to see what was going to happen before it happened.
Right, and you could buy a whole lot of it and then realize. Because the market, my understanding from reading this article in the Financial Times, that the market runs off speculation a lot of times. So if somebody comes and grabs a lot of something, other people are wondering why, you know, and it draws the market in one way or the other. So, you know, and
Everything in the market is based on speculation, you know.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. So think about it. If I go and buy a whole bunch of soybeans, you know, I'm just saying that because of our conversation last week. you know, once you started talking about soybeans, it was owned. But, you know, I buy a whole bunch of soybeans, you know, at one time, and people are going to wonder why I'm doing it. They may think it's either hot or something about to happen, so maybe they're going to jump on it too. And then by the time they jump on it, I resell it. I mean, isn't that how the market works?
Well, that's basically what they did in the movie with Eddie Murphy and Dan Aykroyd in Trading Places. I think they were getting the farm reports on certain crops.
Frozen concentrated orange juice.
Right. So, you know, so let's just say if Tropicana had a real bad crop, then their prices are going to go up.
Right.
Because now there's less of it. There's not enough of this. There's not enough of this OJ to go around. So, you know, the prices are going to go up. Now, if somebody got heads up on that, because it's basically the same thing. If somebody got heads up on the farmers, then they could pretty much dictate what's going to happen on a market. So let's just say if they know that it's a bad crop and they'll just start off buying, and then when everybody else starts buying, they just sell. And that's pretty much
exactly
what they did in the movie, and, you know, people went broke in the movie.
Isn't that what a day trader does, though, on the real life?
Pretty much.
He just basically sits
yes,
there.
Yes, that's exactly
them,
what a day trader does. A day trader
down,
pretty
right?
much, he trades daily. A day trader trades daily. His job
right.
is to
but
trade
he watches
daily.
For 8 hours, he watches the markets, basically, right?
Pretty much. He gets his information from, I do believe, an analyst, and an analyst gives him an idea, and then he pretty much is able to invest his client's money in certain areas that he feels is going to either go up or down based on what market you're in, based on is it stocks, is it commodities, whatever, whatever. So pretty much, well, Todd, you're like the expert.
Yeah, that's pretty
that.
Good, Mr. Leah. I'm proud of you, man, to break that down in simplest form, because honestly, I think people need to understand how it works, because I think you need to understand what your broker doing too, not to the point where you're doing it, but just to the point where if you understand why he's doing what he's doing, you can have a little bit more confidence in what it versus then to say, here's my money, spend it.
And the golden rule is what we was hit with last week. You know, deal with a broker who, I don't care if it's stocks, I don't care if it's commodities, who actually trades his own money in
own
that same.
Money. Yeah.
His same.
Yeah, that was
and,
very, that was very powerful what he said.
Yeah.
I give it on that.
You know.
But I think
it's just
said,
like what
Todd,
he said.
Todd has said that too, because I remember the person asked Todd the question
yes.
about does he use his own money? And Todd said yes, he does.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Remember?
Because
and
if he doesn't believe in it, then why would he put your money in it?
Right,
you
got to
have skin
like,
in the game. Silver is one of my biggest things, oil and gas, and some stocks that I've mentioned in the past.
I have a confession to make, too. And I have teased, especially you, Todd, about this for a long time. And I was watching TV, and I happened to see them take a muscle car and put a biofuel motor in it. And it blew the doors off of a Lamborghini, and I said, okay, I could get into this now.
So you're investing in biofuel motors?
No, but I'm just saying that now I guess Hemi has gone biofuel. But what irritated me about it, because they had Arnold Schwarzenegger talking, you know, because that's like a big thing in California. He
is
said,
biofuel on the market being traded right now?
Of course it is. And he said, don't change the SUV, changed the technology in the SUV. And I'm like saying, you know something? That was the smartest thing somebody could have said. How come the American automakers don't take wind of this? It just boggles me.
Well, they've been doing it. They've put together some hybrid SUVs over the years. They just, you know, they've got a lot of work to do. They've got some catching up to do on that.
This particular vehicle got 25 miles per gallon. It kicked out over 500 horses, and it got 25 miles to the gallon. That is unheard of for a high-performance car, especially an American muscle car.
I got a question for you then. Just tell me where the money at, because this is Money Matters Now. So tell me where the money at is in this story.
Where the money at? The money's in gold. The money is in energy. The money.
We're talking about fuel right now. So
we're talking about fuel?
You
I can honestly say the money is in reusable energy, biofuels. Yes, I'm hooked. The
okay,
minute that car right. revved up, I said, you know something? I'm hooked. I can get into this. So there, that's my confession. I'm out the closet now. I can leave the Hemis alone, and I can actually get biofuel muscle cars instead of just your fossil fuel burners.
Who
oh,
is
there,
the...
No
I said it.
Proprietor of that technology, do you remember, Chris?
I do believe it was GM who made that technology.
All right, so it's a government project then.
but how come it's not already in the vehicles? That's what's bothering me. How come this is not already in the vehicles now? It's something that you have to spend more money to get in their cars. I'm like, come on. The German cars went diesel and the Japanese cars went hybrid. I'm like, come on. And the American cars are still at the gas station?
Let's not lose focus.
That's bad business.
Where's the money at?
Okay. All right. Well, it's certainly not with GM. I take it that much. It's not with GM.
It could be.
Tar was low on that, though. Tar was low. He threw a punch in there. He said, oh, it's a government company.
I said a government technology. That's all. Because the government owns it at the end of the day. But you know what? All joking aside, we have seen many companies emerge from bankruptcy to be tremendous success stories. Kmart was a perfect example, a prime example. Now, I personally believe Kmart was a manipulated situation and didn't really deserve to go bankrupt in the first place. They just wanted to get out of some bad leases, so they found that as a great alternative to do it. And, take the company from the shareholders and move it into the private equity groups. But Kmart and Sears merged together after the bankruptcy of Kmart was completed, and they got rid of all that bad debt and came out as a clean as a whistle.
Wait,
and,
Kmart and Sears have merged?
Kmart basically bought Sears, and they call it Sears Holding Company, because the name Kmart was a dirty word for quite some time after that bankruptcy. And it was a very successful investment. If you did get in right after the bankruptcy was finalized and the company came out with a new public clean company, basically debt-free. So GM...
So this is Kmart's way of doing battle with Walmart.
Well, this is Kmart basically
staying alive.
Battle the Walmart back in the day, apparently, when it was a public company that had to go through bankruptcy restructuring. I mean, they were just hurting, and really they shouldn't have been, because the economy was not really that bad back then. They just had some credit issues that once the rating agencies determined that their credit was no longer AAA. A lot of their suppliers decided they weren't going to lend them products anymore until the cash was paid up front. And, if you have a business that runs for 50 years on, you give me the product, I sell the product, I give you the cash, 90 days later, all of a sudden turn into a business where it's got to be, you give me the cash, I give you the product, you go sell the product, it might not necessarily work, so... it was an unfortunate bankruptcy, but I think it was unnecessary and manipulated. But it happened nonetheless, and you could have profited from it if you decided to get in after the bankruptcy. So to that token, General Motors, GM, may come out of bankruptcy cleaner than they've ever been, because they can get rid of a lot of bad debt, get rid of a lot of non-performing assets, which could be,
like Pontiac?
Well, whatever it might be, it could be that one plant that just the guys don't work as hard as the guys in the other plant, or
no,
whatever it is.
I think they're just getting rid of Pontiac, period.
Well, that's a another animal. But the bankruptcy does allow people to get out of contracts. And, that's why some of these companies like to go bankrupt, because they can get out of contracts that aren't necessarily making money for them. So, GM might have a second chapter that could be pretty exciting. It's just it remains to be seen. We'll have to see what happens.
So, okay, just based on what you just said, and I'm shooting this out just so the listeners can hear this. Now, Todd just said that companies go into bankruptcy to get rid of a lot of contracts and get rid of a lot of non-performing assets, meaning that if they want to get rid of a particular, like let's say the auto industry, they want to close a plant, they want to get rid of Hummer, they want to get rid of Pontiac, they want to get rid of the Corvette, whatever, they can do that and then emerge better. But let Main Street do that. Main Street cannot just go into bankruptcy and think that everything is going to be good, they're going to pay their mortgage, everything is good, the payments are going to go down. No, that's not going to happen. You're going to have to end up paying more money, but I just wanted the people to know that there's a difference between Wall Street and Main Street when it comes down to anything you do. So just because GM did it, don't think that you can do it and keep your house. Okay.
That is. Todd, let me ask you a question. What do you think is the future of Wall Street in the next 5 years?
Well, you know, it looks pretty good, and that comes back to me to the.
What does that mean in English?
I'll tell you. I'll get there. I think the future of Wall Street, it looks healthy and looks strong. I think it comes back to the main topic of discussion we started with today, which was about inflation. And you know, Wall Street has struggled in the last year, as we've seen some scandals, we've seen some bad regulation when it came to the rating agencies making mistakes, when it came to, you know, overextension by the banks, overuse of borrowing to an aggressive degree that was unsafe and unhealthy for the banking and the investment banking community, which caused tremendous losses all around the world. So in the short term, you know, Wall Street has suffered tremendously, and so have many investors and the people, and there's been a lot of losses of jobs in that sector. But long term, there's a very important need for Wall Street. It gets money where it needs to go to create companies, jobs, progress. I'm a true believer in the system. I do believe it has to be properly structured and regulated, which they're working on. Now, you know, they're going to come up with the right solution this time, the right regulation, the right structure under the new administration. That still remains to be seen. And, you know, honestly, there already is a lot of regulation. They just wasn't always the right regulation. And or it wasn't always focused on the right sectors and looking at the right people. It was sometimes looking at the small fish.
I think that might be running into the problem, Todd, simply because what is the right regulation? No matter what regulation you do, somebody got a problem with it. So is there really a wrong or a right? I just think there's got to be competition in the market for whatever it is we are in the need of, because without that competition, you know, without you having options, you know, just like the health care reform right now, you know, there's got to be options. Why? Because people say, oh, no, there don't have to be options. We're doing okay right now, and they have any. They was talking about Congress, how they have as many as 10 different options, but the majority of the congressmen, you know, who get all this stuff for free anyway, usually take a blue shield, some type of like an aspect. So, but as they did statistics reading in the Wall Street Journal, is that in most markets, there's a monopoly when it comes to health care. So, I mean, I don't want to go to that point, but my point, what I'm trying to say here, the same thing in Wall Street. If, you know, if there's just a monopoly of certain buying habits and trends, et cetera, in certain companies that, you know, connected to this company, that company, there's not a whole lot of competition. So you then, as you was even saying with Kmart and Sears, you know what I mean, they're both going for close to the same customer, you know, you take away the options, you can put ever whatever price you want.
You know, I think there's a lot of competition out there, really, to be honest. You've seen Congress and, you know, some of the different regulatory boards out there do everything possible to make sure there was sufficient competition. You know, you saw a 6-8 month period of time to merge Sirius and XM Radio. You know, the fact is, if the two companies did merge, most likely they'd both fail. And, you know, you have competition between digital radio and regular radio and, you know, iPods and all
that. But they did merge.
They did merge. That's my point. My point was that was a necessity from a financing standpoint. They just weren't making it. Neither of the two, after years and years of...
So what was the competition right now, Todd, then? They have no competition because there's
standard,
only one.
You have standard radio. You have plenty of...
But that's free. I'm talking, who is the competition for digital radio? If Sirius and XM are now one, there is no competition is what I'm trying to say, right?
Well, I can understand that.
There might not be another satellite radio company, but there's another radio out there. You have digital radio stations. You have standard analog radio stations that have been running forever. You have CDs that you can put in your car radio. You have music that you can download on the internet. You have music internet radio stations. So
see, those are not competition, Ty. You know why I say not? Because those are not formats. That the difference between the digital so-called radio HM and Sirius is that you paid a monthly fee. You don't pay a monthly fee for standard radio. All you
and that's
to do
competition.
Is commercials.
No. So no matter how you look at it, that's still competition.
You got to look at the bottom line. What's the bottom line goal of the service? It's to entertain
and make money.
And obtain listeners. There's ways to do that. You can do it on the internet. You know, if you have
and not to cut you off, Todd. Well, basically, we're their competition.
Well, I know that's exactly what it is. So, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Internet is simply the way.
No, the internet, the airwaves, the satellite, they all are in the same category. Their thing is, and our thing is to get listeners, so listeners can learn where the money at. That's basically the bottom line. And to also give my opinion on Wall Street needs to be regulated and re-regulated and regulated again, because deregulation is what put us in this situation now. And I understand exactly what Todd is saying. You know, he spoke like a true Wall Street man. I have to give you props for that, Todd. I give you props for that.
I give you props for that.
But
you gave him props and kicked him in the knee.
But
we're gonna watch
the SEC has failed. The SEC has failed in their regulation of
Wall
Street. Huh?
That was a backhanded compliment.
He spoke like a true Wall Street man. He spoke just
a backhanded compliment, like, you know,
that's the truth.
It is the truth. He spoke like a true Wall Street man, and believe me, I love Wall Street. Wall Street is money. I mean, New York is not even connected to America. It's just New York.
Look, it's not a dirty word, guys. Unfortunately, it's not a dirty word.
No, it's not a dirty word.
Investment banking.
You can make a lot of dirty money, but it's not a dirty word.
Well, listen, guys, I'll tell you right now. Listen, I'm going to stand up for us right now because, listen, I'm in this business.
Todd, listen, I love Wall Street. I will be the first one to tell you I love Wall Street.
Come on now.
I love the market.
Lee,
trust
was,
me.
Lee,
I love the market.
Man.
You gotta let me get my 2 cents
okay,
in.
Okay,
go
ahead.
I'm going to tell you, as somebody who's been surviving in this business, and it was a tough time. I graduated school with an engineering degree in 1999, decided, why go be an engineer for $50,000 to $60,000 or a year when they're going to send my job overseas to India in the next 5 years anyway. So let me go work on Wall Street where my brother was and making good money. And I'll tell you, it's a very tough business. There are tough people in this business that are looking to take advantage of people.
You know, come to think of you mentioned your brother. When is your brother coming back to the show?
I'm giving him
a shout out right now.
He's a busy man. He sat down with our friends over at BlackRock today up in Boston, and he's in New York meeting another institution tonight. He's a busy guy. But anyway, you know, it's a tough business, and you there are mistakes that are made. There are people out there and organizations that are not necessarily looking out for the investment community, looking out for investors. But I've found, you know, the vast majority of people are trying to do the right thing and sometimes get caught up in a tough market as well. It's not always an exact science, unfortunately. If it were, it'd be an easy game and everybody would be Peter Lynch. But unfortunately, that's not the case. So, you know, we do the best we can, and we're going to be wrong sometimes, even on this show. But
that was a sidekick to your face right there. That was a smooth one though. He just sidekicked you right there.
It's all good. Go ahead, Todd.
Finish. But you hit him below the belt anyway, Lee. Though, so you deserve that one.
I got nothing but love for Todd. I love Tar. I love Wall Street, too. Trust me. Believe me, I do. I made a lot of money. So it's all good. But go ahead.
Absolutely. No, we enjoy what we do, and we do the best we can. And, you know, it's all, at the end of the day, we are looking out for, you know, for the people that we represent, the people that we try to help out. And hopefully we're right. You know, you're not always going to be, but we're doing the best we can. We're trying to do our homework first. That's important.
I still say I would like to see a lot more regulation of Wall Street just so we don't run into the same mistakes that we ran into in the past year or so. You know, I mean, I would say it's very difficult to catch all of the Bernie Madoff with your money. So, I mean, you know, but I do believe that there should be a lot more regulation to stop people like Bernie Madoff with all your money.
Absolutely. No question
and
about it.
I do believe that the SEC should pay more attention. I mean, I'm a conservative person. I believe that, you know, if you have laws that are conservative, it kind of takes away from people, you know, doing things. Once, I mean, if the system works, don't try and fix it. Don't fix it. Don't fix it. Leave it the way it is. If something goes wrong, then you fix it. Like right now, they're trying to get back to where they were years ago. But they done tampered with the system for so long because they kind of like took the power away from the SEC. That's the Security Exchange Commission. So.
No, I really don't. I really have to disagree with you, Chris. I mean, I just think,
you know, I think
regulation was focused, and even Benny was trying to bring up a point about the monopolies and all that. It's, you know, it's not necessarily about how little regulation we had. It just, I think, it was out of focus. And when something's out of focus, you can miss by a mile. And that's what happened in this last situation. And I think it actually was a function of the government getting a little bit too involved in the banking affairs. And, you know, with Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae, for example, and, you know, they were allowing a lot to get by in that market, which is not Wall Street, to be honest. I mean, that was the banking sector, but it wasn't the investment banking center. And it spilled over into the investment banking sector because the investment banking sector was being sold something as AAA-rated security that in reality was not even close to it. The standards were so poorly looked after to making some of these loans that, you know, a lot of things were overlooked, but it wasn't all Wall Street, and that's for sure.
Makes a lot of sense.
So you're blaming the mortgage broker?
No, because the mortgage broker, at the end of the day, doesn't approve a loan.
Okay,
right,
so we're back on the banks.
The banks, but, you know, the banks were not the investment banks. The banks are almost, you know, they have a lot more to do with the government than we would be allowed to believe. You know, they have certain standards they have to meet. The banking departments of the states have regulators. And those regulations were not strong enough, and they were letting things get by, you know, no doc loans, all this stuff that they just decided it was okay.
What was the matter with no doc loans?
Well, how are you going to know someone's going to be able to pay that back? If someone's going to take a loan and say, well, this person doesn't have to show us how much they make. And, you know, just because we think the housing price is going to continue to go up, it's a safe loan because you can always sell the house for a higher price. You know, that's a bad reason to make a loan. And the fact that the banking system let that happen for years and years and years, in the, you know, from probably the late 90s into the crisis.
Well, Wall Street made a lot of money on that. I mean, they end up losing a lot more money, but they made a lot of money. You see, as long as people were making money, then it's okay.
Well, you think if Lehman Brothers would have known that the AAA-rated securities they were buying were really double, you know, C-minus or whatever?
Well, personally, Lehman Brothers, they should have never have let Lehman Brothers fall.
They would have bought them, but it doesn't matter. They should have. Actually, I think that was fine that they let them fall. They should have let them all fall.
Yeah.
I agree. If you let one fall, you let them all fall.
Ding, 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 ding. We got to break up the fight here. We only got 2 minutes left.
Because you guys are going at it. It's funny, though. I love it. We only got 2 minutes left, man. So if we can get a summary for everybody, then we'll go get on out of here. And remember, you can reach us on WBCNradio.com, WBCNTV.com, or download us on iTunes.com, podcast, put in WBCN and take it right to her. Want to welcome all our overseas people from all over. Got a lot of downloads over in Texas. We really appreciate that. And please keep coming back. And sorry we couldn't have a chat room open up, but we're going to narrow it down right now. What is your last words, Mr. Todd?
We started here about inflation, and we're going to end with it in my book. It's real. It's here to stay. Oil's a good place to diversify into, natural gas. The metals, I like silver. And you can protect yourself from tough long-term times with the dollar losing value tremendously. So I'd love to help you do that.
Well, you know, if Todd ever set up his thing, y'all can reach out to him. I'm over there. Go, Mr. Lee. Go ahead.
All right. Basically, y'all know me. All that glitters, that's not gold. It's either silver, platinum, precious metals. I am going to say biofuels and reusable energies. You know, it made a believer out of me this weekend.
All right, we got 50 seconds. Todd, give them a contact for how they can reach out to you if they want to talk to you.
You can catch me at 917-349-2175 or send an email off to Todd, Todd_McKnight, McKnight, at hotmail.com.
Or just
all
wait
right,
for
Mr.
him
Lee.
To join the BC, the WBCNradio.com. Yeah, so Todd, join the WBCN. They can catch you there.
I'm looking at it right
now.
Oh,
yeah,
and you want to know something? I sent out an invitation for you, Todd, on my Facebook.
I haven't logged on for a while.
Yeah, I noticed.
Well, WBCN Radio is the important place. We got 10 seconds. Ladies and gentlemen, we really appreciate you for being here on Money Matters Now. Make sure you tune in at 8 o'clock coming up, Mr. Dennis Speed on Everything Politics. At 9 o'clock, the Benny Randall Show. At 11 o'clock, you know we got for the ladies. Let's make love right here on WBCN Radio, New York. Until next time, God bless and good night.
Good night.
Good night.